want to welcome everyone to Scott Parker Ministries.
God, I want to welcome every person to the broadcast today. Father, I just pray for all the listeners that you'd grant them a spirit of wisdom, spirit of revelation, give them a revelation of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that power that you worked in Jesus when you raised him from the dead would work in us, Father, and we just give you thanks. All right. Now, I want to start off by saying, part of walking with God is there's an ongoing dealing with the unrighteousness in us. But we must never lose sight that we're valuable to God. We're created in his image. We're created so he would have people that he could express his love towards. There's even talks about the mystery, the revelation of the mystery of the fellowship, about God wanting to have a family. I think that's in Philippians somewhere. But that's what God wants. He wants to have a family of sons and daughters that he can express his love towards. You know, Psalm 139:14 says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and my soul knoweth right well. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them. And in Ephesians 2:4 it says, but God, who is rich in his mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ, by grace are you saved. All right, so let's get into talking about overcoming, because overcoming and prevailing. James 5:14, is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, this word availeth means to prevail or to overcome. See, we overcome in prayer, and it's fervent prayer. See, Jesus did everything for us on the cross. He provided a complete salvation. And salvation's an all-inclusive word. It covers everything we need. But it takes fervent prayer to overcome, because we have the devil trying to shut up our faith, the devil trying to shut up the power of God, the devil trying to keep everything working. So, you know, and I find it necessary to pray fervently to get my faith stirred up. So let's look at the way we get our faith stirred up. And it comes as you're praying the word of God out loud. Look at Psalm 72, and this helped me, verse 19. Blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. Now, what prayer is David talking about? Well, all his Psalms. Now, and this tells me reading the word of God out loud are a form of prayer. So we have a Bible full of prayers. And you know, we know it says in Romans that faith comes by hearing the word of God and praying the word of God. Or, you know, it says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And as we pray the word of God, we can overcome the devil. Okay. And that's what I want to do my best to communicate in this podcast, is that that is the way we use our faith. That is the way, you know, we wrestle with the devil. We know in Ephesians 6, talks about wrestling with the devil, that we wrestle with him in prayer. And so just reading the word of God out loud, praying the word of God out loud fervently, you can prevail. It availeth much. You will prevail over the enemy. And that helped me one day, because I used to sit there and think, well, I don't know what to pray. Well, we got the Bible. We have a whole Bible full of prayers. And, you know, one of the things that I saw as I, or I experienced as I was praying the Word of God, I've had times where I was praying the Word of God firmly, I would start to engage spirits. And this is how you wrestle with the devil. And I have to do this to get my faith loosed and be able to see results in my life. See, the devil is our enemy, and he's a spirit, and he has many spirits under his authority, and they work together to keep us bound. And, you know, and for no other reason, it's not just because the devil hates us, but the devil knows that as we overcome, and that God is after is a harvest of people that he's made righteous. Then he's going to come get us. And then the devil knows he's going to the pit. So the devil wants to keep us bound. He wants to keep us from overcoming him, being made the righteousness of God, bearing the fruit of the Spirit, being partakers of the divine nature. Because until God's purpose is accomplished in the earth, until God produces this fruit in the earth, the devil's safe. He knows he's not going to the pit. And so he knows. See, the devil can read the Bible. He knows what God's after. Look at James 5:7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman wait up. The father is the husbandman, and you can see that in the 15th chapter of John. Waited for the precious fruit of the earth, and have long patience for it, until he received the early and the latter rain. Be ye therefore patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. So here is one of the things that has to take place for the Lord, you know, before the Lord come and get us. He has to make fruit out of us. All right? And for God to bring forth that fruit, which is a bunch of people to become the righteous of God, are made partakers of his divine nature. He's got to make fruit of us, and then he's going to come. Look at Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present to himself, this is at his coming, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So the Lord's going to present to himself a glorious church at his coming. So our efforts should be towards getting our heart purified, being made the righteous of God. And like I said, the powers of the devil are working against us to keep us from being brought to that place, from us getting our heart purified and being made righteous. And so one of the methods of the devil is to stop us from being transformed. And one of the methods is to lie to us and tell us we're already a new creature in Christ immediately after we receive the Lord. See, if you already believe you're there, then the devil's already got you defeated, because you're not pressing towards to get your heart. If you're not pressing to get your heart purified, you're not pressing towards being made fruit. Then if he can just lie to you and tell you, oh, you're already righteous, now we're just waiting for the Lord to come get us. Well, he's coming to get, he has patience, because he's waiting for a harvest in the earth. He's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth to bring forth that fruit. That's what the husbandman, which is the Father, is working in us to bring forth that fruit. See, if every bad thing about you passed away immediately after you received the Lord and everything became new, then we'd be ready for the Lord to come and get us. All right? See? So, the body of Christ needs to get a revelation of how God gets rid of the old man, which is the sin nature or our old heart. And so we can be made fruit. Look at John 1:29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming on him and said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. All right. 1 Corinthians 5:21. For he had made him to be sin for us. This is when Jesus took away the sin of the world on the cross, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous of God in him. So he took our sin nature on the cross. He bore it on his body on the cross. And it was put to death with him. But we have to mix faith with that for our sin nature to be crucified with Christ, for it to be taken away. See, this is a major area. And I know I talk a lot about this, but this is what I've seen, how the body of Christ is deceived. They just say one prayer and say, it was all done. Well, it wasn't all done. And we're going to have to look at how it was done and how we mix faith with it and how to walk it out for this to come to pass. Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Okay, we're crucified with Christ. Our old man was crucified with Christ when he died on the cross. And we receive it by being baptized in Christian water baptism. But we have to continue to believe that until the old man passes away. And this is where we were seduced from the faith. We were told, no, you just received Jesus. And we're not taught how to believe to get rid of the old man. Romans 6:6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Okay. Now, notice it's showing us what happened on the cross. And then it said, you can see after you come out of the water, you have to keep using your faith to put to death the old man. Let's go to verse 10, read that. For in that he died on a sin once. In that he liveth, he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, how you keep using your faith so you can continue to put the old man to death. Because if he was just put to death, go into the water, come up, he's gone. Well, that'd be great. But it says you have to reckon him dead. All right? Later in Paul's letters, he instructs us to put off the old man. Let's read that, Colossians 3:8. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Notice, we also have to put on the new man. He wasn't instantly formed in us either. And both of these, putting off the old man, putting on the new man, is simply obeying what the word says. So, as you get a revelation, the old man, your sin nature, the old you, or your old heart, was crucified with Christ on the cross, and you start the process of putting him to death by first being baptized in water, then reckoning him dead, then keep putting him off, then he will pass away. But if you skip right over this, if the devil can deceive you and just say, you received Jesus, that's already happened, then it will not come to pass. You will not get rid of the old man because you have to walk this out. All right? You've got to get that in your heart. See, I'm not sure when this came in, but the devil introduced a doctrine many years ago that said, when you receive Jesus, old things immediately passed away and all things became new. And so you wouldn't get the new man formed in you, but just believe you're already a new creature. Now, here's the scriptures the devil used. John 1:12. But as many as received him, this is the Lord Jesus Christ, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of God, nor of the will of man, but of God. They're born of God. So the people of God read this and believed that they had a whole new heart when they received the Lord. But when you have the correct understanding of any scripture, it'll line up with the rest of the scriptures. Okay, now hear me. Stay with me. I'm going to show you this. And I just showed you get rid of the old man, or getting rid of the old man is a process. And you get the revelation that when you get this, this is so important, when you get the revelation that the old man is the old you and it's your old heart, then you'll be able to see how you weren't made a new creature in Christ by just saying one prayer to receive the Lord. Here's another scripture that talks about what we will be like when God finishes with us. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away, behold, all things become new. And what some Christians don't understand is some scriptures refer to the finished work of what Christ dying on the cross did for us, which is what I just read, and what it'll be like once it's completed in our life. Other scriptures refer to how we get to that place or come unto perfection. Okay? See, you have to walk this out about the old man being crucified. That's how we get to this place. And as you rightly divide the word of God, and get understanding, then it'll all fit together. All right? You have to walk this out about the old man being put to death. You have to walk this out about becoming a new creature in Christ. Then, 2 Corinthians 5:17, you'll come to that place. All right? The reason it's important is a new creature in Christ overcomes the devil. So you can say, well, you know, you believe it was a process. We believe it was all ones. What does it matter? Because it's not going to come to pass until you understand how to walk it out. And the new creature in Christ, we're going to get into this in a little bit, but the new creature in Christ overcomes the devil. Let's go ahead and take a break and play a song. Let's do Via Della Rosa by Pamela Ponte. And, you know, I was talking to Pam and I said, we need to put out another song. And I said, why don't we do Jesus Messiah? And that's been in my heart for a while. Pam is one of the directors of my ministry. She's also the worship leader. And so she was in agreement with me, and she's already working on Jesus Messiah. And she went to the studio yesterday, and so they're starting on it. They're going to have to make a whole new production because we don't have a soundtrack we can use. But anyway, that's in the working. Let's go ahead and hear Via Della Rosa by Pamela Ponte.
Down the Via Dolorosa in Jerusalem that day, the soldiers tried to clear the narrow street, but the crowd pressed in to see a man condemned to die on Calvary. He was bleeding from a beating, there were stripes upon his back, and he wore a crown of thorns upon his head. And he bore with every step the scorn of those who cried out for his death. Down the Via Della Rosa, called the way of suffering, like a lamb came the Messiah, Christ the King. But he chose to walk that road out of his love for you and me. Down the Via Dolorosa, all the way to Calvary. Por la Via Dolorosa, tres días en Jerusalén, los soldados le aprean paso a Jesús. Mas la gente se acercaba para ver a que llevaba aquella cruz. Por la Via Dolorosa, que es la Via del mí. Por la Via Dolorosa, al Calvario ya morí. The blood that would cleanse the souls of all men made its way through the heart of Jerusalem. The Messiah, all the way to Calvary.
Now turn to Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So if you apply the scriptures I just taught on being crucified with Christ through water baptism and using your faith to put to death the old man, and you keep walking in this, then you will live by the faith of the Son of God, and Christ will live through you. See, keep putting him off, keep reckoning him dead, then he'll be in the process of being crucified. But Christians quote Galatians 2:20 and say, I live by the faith of the Son of God, and Christ lives through me. And they don't understand why their faith doesn't work very good, because too much of that old man is still alive. They haven't walked it out. They haven't put him to death. Another thing for the Lord, to come back after us, we have to put the devil under our feet, and we can only do it by faith. And, I'm telling you, and I touched on this a little bit, we have to wrestle with the devil to get our faith flowing. We wrestle with the devil in prayer and reading the word and praying the word. And until you do, your faith won't work. And until your faith works, you won't see results. Jesus did everything for us on the cross, but it's through faith mixed with the gospel that the power of God manifests and sets us free. It's how we overcome the devil. Look at Ephesians 1:16. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in our prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what the hope of his calling is, which is the riches of the glory of his inheritance. See, as you get your eyes opened, you're going to know the hope of your calling. You're going to know the riches of his glorious inheritance. And you're going to know what, verse 19, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Spirit of revelation, open your eyes to the power of God, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him in his own right hand in the heavenly place. Look what happens. Get that power working in you. Same power that the Father worked in Jesus when he raised him dead. It will raise us up far above all these principalities, powers, might, dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And it'll put all things under his feet and our feet, because we're the body of Christ, and give him to be head over all things of church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So here it says the power that God the Father worked in Christ when he raised from the dead works in us who believe and cause us to overcome these spirits and put them under our feet. Now, the key to overcoming is believing the gospel. And believing is more than just acknowledging. And it's a wrestling match to believe. I'm telling you, you got to get a hold of this. You have to wrestle the devil to believe. And what Christ did for us, we have to believe it in our heart, and it takes faith to keep us steadily believing it. And to do this, I'm telling you this, you've got to get a revelation of this. To do it, you'll have to wrestle the devil. He will stop you from believing. I've learned this by experience. You have to wrestle the devil to believe. Hear these words. You will just acknowledge the gospel until you learn to believe and wrestle and get your faith loose and get on top of the devil. Then you can believe and see the results. Now, look at how Abraham stayed steady in his believing. Romans 4:19. And being not weak in faith, very important, He considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Okay, because Abraham was strong in faith, or we could say the strength of Abraham's faith kept him from doubting God. Therefore, he attained the promise. See, doubting, when you doubt, you waver. And that's what keeps you from getting the promise. That's what keeps you from overcoming. All right? And let me give you an example. So I just gave you an example how strong faith keeps you from doubting. Let me show you how weak faith will cause you to doubt. Or you won't be able to stay steady in believing God. You'll doubt. Turn to Matthew 4:29. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now, Peter had the faith to get out there, and he even walked on the water. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save us. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, said to him, O thou of little faith, wherefore did thou doubt? Now, Peter was still weak in faith, and that's why he doubted. He wasn't strong enough to keep from doubting. Abraham was brought to the place where he was strong enough to stay steady in his believing, and he received the promise. Here, an example, Peter was not yet had obtained to that level of strength of faith, and he doubted, and then he began to sink. Okay? So we've got to keep wrestling the devil, reading the Word of God, praying with the devil, until our faith is strong enough to stay steady in believing, and then we will rule the devil, we will get the promises of God, and we will walk in the Spirit. All right? Psalm 110, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. All right. Now see, we've got to put the devil under our feet, and we do it. We know Ephesians 6 says we wrestle with the devil in prayer. You know, let me tell you something. I used to wrestle when I was a little kid, or when I was younger, preteen days. And let me tell you something about wrestling. If when you go into a wrestling match and the referee blows a whistle, if you don't wrestle, guess what happens? Your opponent will grab you and pin you to the mat. And that's exactly what the devil will do if you don't wrestle him. And so you have to wrestle him in prayer until you get on top of him, and then you pin him. You either pin him or he pins you. All right? So as we get a revelation of the gospel, believe the gospel, learn how to pray, stay steady in our faith, stay strong in our faith, we will wrestle the devil and put him under our footstool. Okay, verse 2. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemy. Okay, the body of Christ will rule in the earth. Thy people shall be one in the day of power, from the beauty of holiness, from the womb of the morning. Thou is the dew of thy youth. See, the power of God and the authority of God is going to come out of Zion. We're going to rule the devil. The Lord has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. I believe this is going to happen during the great tribulation. And the body of Christ is going to rule over the devil. Now, for the resurrection power to work in us, we have to believe. We have to stay steady in our believing. We have to have our faith perfected. And we saw how we live in the faith of the Son of God when we're crucified with Christ. Now look at 1 John 5:4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now, overcoming the world is overcoming the god of this world. Let's look at how Satan is called the god of this world. 2 Corinthians 4:4. In whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine to them. All right? The devil's the god of this world. That's what we're wrestling with to overcome. Now, I want to show you how the new creature of Christ, and see if you can make this connection, he is strong enough to overcome the devil. Galatians 6:15. For in Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Okay, the word evelev is the same Greek word as we saw there in James 5:16, where it said the effectual, earnest prayer of a righteous man evelev much. Evelev, to prevail or overcome. We overcome as we're made a new creature in Christ or born of God. Go back to the 5th chapter, verse 6. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. See, that's the new creature of Christ. He walks in faith and love. We overcome through faith and love. All right? That is the new creature of Christ. Okay. Now, if you go back one verse, we'll see how this righteous nature comes forth in us. Galatians 5:5. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Why are we waiting for righteousness to come forth in us? Mark 4:26, and he said, go. Wait, let me read that again. Mark 4:26, so much pressure here. I mean, I can't even read a scripture. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and he should sleep and rise night and day. The seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how. For the earth bring up forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn of the ear. All right. If you know what the parable of the sower is, you know what that's talking about. Remember, if you remember last week, I said ministers will quote 1:13 and tell you that a Christian couldn't be possessed or controlled by evil spirits. I want to show you this because we have to overcome the devil. Let me read that. Colossians 1:13, common English Bible. He rescued us from the control of darkness and translation of the kingdom of his son, whom he loved. So, these don't teach you overcome the devil by, confusion just hit me. You don't overcome the devil just by, saying one prayer and God rescues you out. You have to overcome the devil through prayer. You have to overcome his control. You have to wrestle with him. You have to be delivered from your sin and brought to repentance to overcome him. Now turn to Acts 26:18, International Standard Version. I'm going to show you, just give you another scripture that we didn't overcome his control all at once. Verse 18, you will help them understand and turn them from darkness to light, from Satan's control to God, so their sins will be forgiven, so they will receive, will share among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So God sent Apostle Paul to minister to people and turn them from the control of Satan to coming under the control of God. See, one scripture talks about the work of Christ on the cross. That was Colossians 1:13. He rescued us from the control of darkness. The other scripture talks about how it's worked out. We have to be turned from the control of darkness. All right? See, this is why when you read the Word of God, you'll read some scriptures will talk about everything that the Lord did for us on the cross, and then other scriptures will talk about how we have to walk it out and how it has to be worked out in our life. See, let me read Colossians 1:17, International Standard Verse. For the Messiah did not send me to baptize. I'll tell you, if you understand what I'm going through right now, I have to press through these spirits to be able to minister this with understanding. Because the devil wants to shut me down where I can't communicate this to you and lay it out there plainly. It's just like I have to wrestle with the devil so I can speak it in faith. See, so the devil's trying to shut up the kingdom of God. You know, it says, we through much tribulation inherit the kingdom of God. We press through and get into that power by praying through these spirits. We get our faith loose praying through these spirits. Paul said, pray for me that for an effectual door is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries, and pray that I be able to communicate this to the people, because the devil tries to shut you up from speaking this plainly. Anyway, 1 Corinthians 17:18, for the Messiah did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with eloquent wisdom, so the cross of the Messiah won't be emptied of its power. Verse 18, for the message about the cross, the death, burial, and resurrection, is nonsense to those who are being destroyed. but it is God's power to us who are being saved. All right? Salvation is a process. You have to keep being delivered from your sin. You have to keep being overcoming the devil, being delivered out from underneath his control. You have to keep getting your heart changed. All right? So we need to keep sowing the word of God in our heart, keep growing in Christ, overcoming our sin and the devil. And in the meantime, there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ. Okay? Doesn't matter where you're at spiritually. Doesn't matter what problem you have with sin. Doesn't matter what area the devil's got you bound and done. There's no condemnation to you. You know, and I'm going to just go ahead and address this because I keep hearing this come up on Facebook and different ministers are saying, can you lose your salvation? And this is really very simple, but I think and I'm not saying that other ministers can't communicate it better than me. I'm not saying I've got all the answers. I'm not saying that at all. But I will say this, I think we would do a better job if we will stay as close to Scripture and not give our opinion. And so let me just say this. When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, God starts a work in you. And we're still slaves to sin, so we're still going to commit sin. And it says that, it says that in the sixth chapter, we're baptized into the death of the Lord Jesus. And then and we have to keep reckoning him dead. In the seventh chapter, it says we're sold into slavery. So we're still a slave to our heart. That's the sin nature, our old heart. And so we're still going to sin. But it says, who's going to deliver me from the body of this death? And it goes into the eighth chapter and it says, there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ who walk not in flesh, but in spirit. So, can you lose eternal life? Well, not walking in Christ. There's no condemnation in you. God's going to keep delivering you. And so, no, you can't lose your salvation as long as you walk in Christ. Can you lose it if you rebel against God? If you go back on destruction? Well, of course you can. If you sin willfully, then you can lose the gift of eternal life. But if you continue to believe to the saving of the soul, doesn't matter what bondage you're in or what sin you have, God will just keep delivering you. But it's foolishness to think that if you turn back and rebel against God, that you won't go to hell. I heard one minister say that it doesn't even matter if you willfully rebel, you'll still go to heaven. And they quoted that scripture that says about, you're my sheep and you shall never perish, for no man is able to pluck you out of my hand. Well, that's talking to sheep, not people that willfully rebel. I mean, you talk about taking scripture out of context. To say that somebody willfully rebels, they're sheep. No, they're not. Okay? So, anyway, that's simple truth. You know, if you willfully turn away from the Lord Jesus Christ, it says there's no more sacrifice for your sin. If there's no sacrifice for your sin, you can't be forgiven. Now, people can rebel willfully and then come back to God. Yes, but if you're living in willful sin, there's no sacrifice for your sin. All right? There is a danger also that if you've gone so far in the Lord and you turn back, you can't even be brought to repentance. You can see that in Hebrews 6. If you've tasted of the good word of God, the powers of the world to come, you've been spiritually enlightened, and that's talking about people who got the foundation in them. If you shall fall away, there's no more. You cannot be brought to repentance. That's a scary thing. But that's talking to people that have overcome and been set free from the slavery of sin, and they went back and they've grown a ways in the Lord. That's not talking to baby Christians. So don't get that confused with people that have backslid, that they can come back to the Lord. There's just a danger in going so far in the Lord, being, like I said, quoting all those things in Hebrews 6 about tasting the good word of God, walking in the power of God. You've been set free, you've been spiritually enlightened, and then you go back. There are people that can't be brought to repentance. They've sinned unto death. That's a dangerous thing. But anyway, even if you're, so the answer to the question, to make it, can you lose your salvation or eternal life? Well, sure you can. Just willfully sin, because there's no sacrifice for your sins. So, you know, but these people that are talking about, most of them are saying, can you lose your salvation because you sin? No, you cannot lose your salvation because you sin if you walk in Christ. And you can walk in Christ and still have sins. That's clear in Romans 7, and because you do that which you would not. But if you walk after the Spirit, there's no condemnation, so you're not losing your salvation. In fact, it says if you continue, Jesus said, if you continue in the Word, you'll be set free. And Romans 8, 1 and 2 says there's no condemnation of those that are in Christ, even though you're still sinning. And if you keep walking in Christ, the law, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus will set you free from sin. So you can either go, continue on in Christ and keep getting set free, or you could draw back onto destruction. All right, is that plain enough? Okay. If there's any person out there that's never been saved, just receive the Lord Jesus Christ and God will start a work in you. All right? And you'll have eternal life and you'll keep it if you just stay in Christ. You don't have to be condemned about sin. Just walk in Christ and he'll keep setting you free. So say this prayer. Lord Jesus, I just receive you. I thank you that you died for my sins. You were buried and you were raised from the dead to justify me. So I just receive you right now. As many as received him, to them gave he right to become the sons of God, which were born not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but they're born of God. So if you've said that prayer, Spirit of Christ has entered into you, just keep walking in Christ, and you'll keep overcoming, and you'll be, God will get you prepared for the coming of the Lord. That's all I've got for today. Everybody have a great day. God bless.
We are so glad you could join us today. We want to invite you to visit us at scottparkeronline.com. There you will find teachings, exhortations, testimonies, and ministry and music. We also have a blog on the end times. Everybody have a great day.